You're tuned in to Free Talk Utah.
Okay. Mike, hold up. Pick up your mic. Hey, this is DJ P-Dub and
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
That's right, boy. It's Tuesday night here. What is the day? ¿Cómo la fecha?
La fecha es el 16 de mayo del año 2005. Perdón, 2006.
Yeah, it's a Spanish week here. It's going to be language day here on Free Talk Utah.
Japonés.
And we're going to do a little bit of Japanese, a little bit of Spanish. We're multicultural.
Así es, güey.
Sí. What does that mean, Jeff?
Which one?
Way.
Way means exact translation, jackass.
And
but it means like, what's up, dude? That's right, dude. Hey, dude.
Dude.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Japanese, too. Me and DJ Jazzy here both went to certain places for a two-year service, and mine was Japan.
Mine was Chilangolandia, which translated to Mexico City.
Yeah, I got a little book here. It's called, it's like Japanese slang. And we were doing a little game here where Jeff was reading slang to me in Japanese out of the book. And I can't see it. And Jeff doesn't speak Japanese, but he's going to read some things here and see if I can tell what he's saying. So have at it.
Abazure.
I have no idea.
It's not appropriate for this show.
Oh.
I didn't notice that until after.
Yeah, I don't know what that word... I think it means like a biatch or something.
That's exactly what it means.
Do something that I might know.
Aruchu. Aruchu.
It means you're a drunk.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're amazing. Baka.
Idiot.
Man.
You need to read like a sentence, like a full sentence.
Okay. Okay, here it goes. Ichi jikan hataraite, ichi manen kureru nante boroi shigoto wa
mez. I think you're trying to say
wa mezurashi.
Mezurashi?
Yone.
You're saying there's no way you could get a job that pays $100 an hour. What does it say?
It's like there's no way you can get a pull a job where you can get 10,000 yen an hour.
Yeah, it's like $100.
They're far and few between, wouldn't you say?
Sweet.
Nice job, Mr. Walker.
Thanks. Let's do like two more.
Ore no sutereo wa boroi. Boroi. Kara otoga hirikute kike ya shinai.
My stereo sucks so bad I can't even hear it.
Exactly. I love that. This one's a really cool one. I kind of like it.
All right, say it.
I think you're ready for it.
Go.
Ano shosetsu ka wa taikaku ga ii noni totemo chimachima shita ji o kakuna.
Yeah, I didn't really hear the last part there. I think you said, like, this writer is really talented, but... Something.
Exactly.
That's close. What does it say?
It means, for a big guy, that novelist sure writes a scrunched up hand. In a scrunched up hand. Like, he writes, you know, he scrunches up his hand like he's...
Oh, like he's a writer, but...
He's got a handicap or something.
He has crappy handwriting. Are you left-handed, Jeff?
I am. It's funny you mention that.
But it's funny you mention that, but you have a good handwriting.
People often make fun of me and saying it's girly.
Really?
You know, let's throw a little culture. Let's tie it into the Mexican culture a teeny bit.
Do Mexicans have good handwriting?
I'm not going in that direction. The direction I'm going in is, in Mexico, if people see you writing with your left hand, they think it's such
what?
A rarity. They think that you have a bad spirit in you.
What, like you're evil?
Been possessed. And that spirit that's possessing you is making you write with your left hand.
Are they really superstitious?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Sounds ridiculous.
In fact, when I was down there just this last week, I had a bad case of what they call chorrillo, which is diarrhea.
Chorrillo?
Diarrhea is also a good word for it.
Diarrhea?
But chorrillo is the correct word, is like a slang word. Well,
And you just went to Mexico last week.
They told me if I washed my arms just from the shoulder down in warm water, my diarrhea would leave.
What are you washing your arms from the shoulder down have to do with chorrillo?
Chorrillo. Yeah, you know, I wish it helped.
Did people, like, seriously talk to you with a straight face and say, you have to do this?
Oh, yeah. Everyone in the street talked about the natural cure for diarrhea. And that was it. They swore by it.
Next to their Virgin Guadalupe statues?
Right next to the Virgin. And they also said if I prayed to the Virgin of Guadalupe, my diarrhea would leave. But I tried both and neither of them worked.
You went down there with DJ Johnny. You were down there for like a whole week, right?
A little over a week.
Yeah, that was part of the reason we didn't record a show last week. I was going to do one with Adam Tolis, but didn't happen.
You know what? I just want to tell you listeners out there, I'm sorry that I might have been the cause of taking DJ Johnny away from his recording duties.
No, he had a lot of fun.
But we had fun one night. We went salsa dancing in this little club called La Perla.
La Perla?
La Perla.
Oh, what's Perla?
P-E-R-L-A. It means the pearl.
This was in Mexico City?
Mexico City. And let me tell you, we got there about 11 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't leave till about 6 a.m.
Whatever.
It was salsa dancing mania. That
for like 7 months. Hours?
7 hours of
salsa. Did you like have to take little breaks?
Yeah. Actually, in fact, it was such a unique little place. They had these like weird little like wannabe gangster like salsa rappers up there.
Yeah.
Like dancing around like as if they were like some like gangster.
They're like the little MCs.
Yeah, and they thought they were like little Mexi gangsters, you know.
Were there other like white people there, or is it like a touristy place, or is it like a local place?
No, it's kind of a hole in the wall, and we were the only Americans there, and people stared at us.
Was that kind of like the whole theme of your vacation, was like a non-touristy vacation? You were like on the streets?
Yeah, we were on the streets of Mexico City, and everywhere we went, people would stop and stare at us. The girls would walk by and be like, oye, güeritos.
What's güeritos?
Like, oh, little white boys. Like, it's kind of like a term for... A term of kindness or endearment.
Yeah.
And they're just really, it was really cool.
Yeah? You felt wanted?
Yeah, we felt wanted, that's for sure.
That's pretty sexy.
Yeah, Mexico was cool. We had a great time. Johnny and I embarked on a trail run.
You went running?
Went running in the mountains.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we went to these waterfalls and we went up this trail. And all of a sudden we decided that the trail was wrong and that we had the right path.
What?
And so we went, the trail looked like it was going in the wrong direction.
So you were like a trailblazer.
So we decided to cut through the woods, and that was a big mistake because Johnny ripped his pants in the wrong area.
Well, he had like these blisters on his hand the other day from stinging nettle.
I think, yeah, the stinging nettle sometimes carries a virus called, I think it's called syphilis. Very contagious.
But that's the only stinging nettle in Mexico, right?
It's only Mexican stinging nettle.
It carries venereal diseases.
Very serious venereal diseases that never leave.
That's foul.
So we trail ran a little bit. I kind of tore my knees a little bit. That was fun.
Yeah, that's cool that you like exercised on your vacation.
Yeah, it was cool. Adventurous / cool / exercisable. Exercising. Sorry, bad English.
No, it's all right. You're in Mexico. Did when you were down there, there was like up in the U.S. they've had all these immigration issues with like the government trying to keep all the Mexicans out. Were people talking about that when you were down there?
We got a few questions. In fact, they were boycotting a lot of the American brand, like for example McDonald's or Burger King.
So they wouldn't go.
But the funny thing is the franchise owners of those stores are Mexican.
Well, right. So it'll hurt their own Mexicans.
They're just hurting their own economy. And so, and I mentioned that to them, and they were so shocked and couldn't believe it. Because
they didn't really understand the business.
Yeah, I just tried to help them to see why it's not good to just legalize every Mexican that sneaks across the border. And they saw that, and the people that I knew saw that and respected that.
Do you think that... Because I always see the Mexicans coming across the border, and it's kind of like, well, you can't really stop them all, and you kind of have to let them come in. Like, I was kind of pro letting them in, personally. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's a matter of opinion. I think we need to definitely secure the border.
Yeah.
Because three Iraqis were caught just the other day crossing the border in Texas.
Oh, really?
And they were linked to Al-Qaeda, and so that kind of makes me a little unhappy. But what really the issue is, is I think, you know, this is, I think this is like my plan in a nutshell, 1-2-3-step plan, and it won't be
So you have a solution.
I have a solution.
You must be a Republican then. Because you have a solution.
I have a solution. I'm pushing the gas, not the brakes.
Yeah, it's like a... Personally, DJ P-Dub, myself, I am leaning towards the right. However, I enjoy the viewpoints of Democrats at times. However, the one thing that I do not like about the Democrats is they're short on solutions, usually. And so that's kind of a, you know, obviously they have a lot of good points, but, you know, they're more of a, you know, if the bipartisan system in the U.S. were an automobile, the Democrats would be the brakes and the Republicans would be the accelerator.
Yeah, it's an opposition party is all it is.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I think should happen. Legalize all of the current Mexicans that are in our country.
Yeah.
Give them all social security numbers.
That are here.
Let them pay taxes. Let them continue in their current jobs.
So they'd be like citizens, or would they be like a...
They're citizens. Permanent citizens forever and ever.
Yeah.
Okay. We build the wall of China across the Mexican border.
So, like, seal it.
We seal it. We build it 6 feet down and build it 26 feet high. With, I mean, there are tunnels that they're starting to dig underneath the Rio Grande.
Yeah. Under the river?
Under the river.
No way.
But one thing that they need to do at the border is they need to check and open and search all trucks and cars as they come through.
So wouldn't that cause, like, a ton of traffic at the border?
It would cause a ton of traffic at the border. So I think you need to have more checkpoints coming across the border so that people can start checking through vans and trucks, because it's not just people coming across the river and sneaking through the desert. People load up in those big trucks that have it'll say, like, for example, Pan Bimbo, or they'll say, like, a certain mark of a company.
So there'll be, like, people in the company that are corrupt?
Maybe not in the company, but they'll paint the seal of that company on a diesel truck.
It.
And then they'll bring the people across in that truck, and they'll load boxes in front of those people as if they were actually carrying cargo. So if they were inspected, they'd have to really...
If they just did a quick check, they wouldn't see them all.
No. They have to really look back in there, because you'll have people popping out hiding behind those boxes.
Like little monkeys coming out of the box.
Yeah, and that's a problem. That's really beautiful. So, DJ...
That's Mexico.
P-Dub.
Yeah.
That's an interesting topic. It's a concern of mine.
You feel for your Mexican brothers?
I love my Mexican brothers, but, you know, they need to stay in their country and fortify their own country.
They do. They have a lot of issues.
If all the people came across here, then Mexico would be left for dead.
It's Jazzy.
Jazzy Jeff speaking.
Yeah, Johnny's not here right now.
So, Paul Walker.
Yes.
DJ Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Give us some thoughts on immigration real quick.
What do I think?
The theme is going on a teeny bit, but let's just give me a quick nutshell thought of yours.
Like what I think the policy should be?
Yeah, what is your plan?
I don't know. I kind of think they should just... anyone that's illegal and busted over here, if somebody's working, let's say people get across the border illegally and they end up getting a job with an employer, as soon as they get a job with somebody, you know, they're being productive, and the employer should have to register them. And they could register them as, like, just a guest worker. Because mainly, you don't want illegals coming in and just, like, messing around and using our insurance and being, like, a weight on society. So as soon as they're contributing, as soon as they're, like, working, you should register them.
We don't want parasites in our country.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, if they have a job, they shouldn't be trying to run away. I mean, if you have a job, like, the factory owner or whatever should say, okay, you're working in my factory now. You get, like, this little badge, and it's kind of like maybe a driver's license, and it's like you're a guest worker. Because, I mean, they're going to do it anyway, and then they'll have to recognize that on their taxes and other stuff. And that'll, I don't know, it doesn't seem that hard to me, but I guess I don't understand the issue that well.
There's a family I know who was invited to become American citizens.
Yeah.
And they rejected the invitation on basis that they would have to pay taxes because they're a registered American citizen.
See, that's bullcrap. They should just make anyone that's in here, even if they're illegal, like they're a guest worker or whatever, and they're registered, and we know who they are, and they're liable for stuff. And then also, well, that'll protect them, because then the employers can't blackmail them. Because isn't one of the main issues, like, if they're an illegal, the employer will, like, if they want to raise, the employer will say, well, I'm not going to give you a raise, or I'll deport you, threaten them. And...
Yep. The employers are blackmailing their workers, Mexican workers.
Yeah, so I think they should just at least register them, and then, you know, they'll say, we understand this person is not fully legit, but they're working, so we're going to let it slide. And then you can at least keep track of them, and they're not, like, running around, like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. So what's our next topic, DJ Walker? Paul Walker.
Little interlude here. I went to...
Show you the world.
I can't believe you know the words.
I love Disney music.
Do you have some Disney CDs?
I don't want to comment on air.
Whatever.
I do.
I have Aladdin.
I've downloaded some Disney music from LimeWire.
Yeah.
Actually, not downloaded, but I've had people on LimeWire share that music with me.
Of course.
And so I do have that music, yes.
Yeah, I had some Disney CDs from when I was like 12 years old because my parents would like want to give me a CD, but they didn't like want to get some rap music or something, so they'd buy me something wholesome and I'd get like Pinocchio for my birthday.
Yeah, I think that's really special. Keeps you a kid.
Yeah, I got like Lion King, and then I got like Aladdin when I was 13. And then I think like a year later for my birthday, my parents gave me Pinocchio. And I was like, that's really cool. And so I put in Pinocchio, and I don't even know if I've even seen the movie before. It's one of those, like, not-so-popular movies.
Yeah, because kids like to lie, and that teaches you not to lie.
They're like, oh, they're taking away my favorite activity.
My nose will grow, but I know it really won't, so I won't watch the movie.
Yeah, it was there was this thing on, it was like South Park or something, and, or no, it wasn't South Park. It was this TV show on MTV called, like, Wonder Chosen. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
It's, like, this totally evil show, and it's just, like, funny crap. And they have, like, little kids, like, talking about drug abuse. It's really off the wall. And anyways, they had, like, this little kitten dressed up like Satan, and he had, like, little horns.
That's naughty.
On the kitten with really? A pitchfork.
A real kitten?
A little kitten, and they were, like, puppeting it. They had it dressed up, and it was, like, meow. They like mouth words, so it made it look like the kitten was talking.
No way.
And it had this like evil like voice. He's like, die, man. And one of the things,
a good voice.
One of the he was like throughout the show, he'd come on and give the kids like little tips to be good Satan worshipers or something.
Really?
Yeah, it was like really awful, but it was funny because he's like
naughty.
He's like, children, you should learn to lie because all things. He goes, a lot of people say cheaters never prosper. I don't think so. Stupid cheaters prosper. But if you're smart and you cheat, you'll probably get away with it and be successful.
Oh, man. You know, that's great. That's a wonderful principle.
Yeah, I don't like it. Speaking of evil people, I went to Provo this last weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That's the land of evil people.
Well, Jeff and Johnny were in Mexico, and I didn't have any friends except for Adam, who was in Provo. He's going to summer school down there. And so I went down to Provo on the weekend and chilled with him a little bit. And went to a...
How was it?
Oh, I mean, he
any,
was cool.
Any zoobies?
We did see some zoobs.
An encounter?
We had some encounters. I'm trying to think. Well, immediately when I got off the freeway, I had people staring at me. Like guys pull up at a stoplight and I had guys staring me down.
They felt like you were a threatening single.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm like a little bit older and I have a job and like I have a car and it's...
And you're good looking.
I don't know about that. But,
were you wearing like 7 jeans or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I was wearing these really nice, expensive brand name jeans.
Leather jacket.
Yeah, and I wanted them to see them, so I like put my foot out the window, and I was like, "See this, bitches."
Now you probably also highlighted your hair and spiked it too, right? And you're wearing a wristband.
Yeah, I don't. What kind of wristband would be appropriate?
A sweatband around your wrist.
Do they wear those down there?
Well, they kind of do. It's kind of a cool style.
Ooh.
It shows that they're very strong and very tough and very athletic.
It's like, hey, you know, just in case I go work out, I need to wipe the sweat off my brow.
By the way, before you went to Provo, did you go to the tanning bed so that you'd fit in?
No, but I have been getting out in the sun a lot more lately. Can you tell?
I can. You do look tan. But the thing is, the funny thing is you have those... People were talking about that stare you down and are condescending and think they're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
But then you also have those that, you know, pull their hand carts across the freeway and stop traffic.
Oh, Can I interrupt you?
Yes, please.
I remembered what it was. I pulled up to the stoplight. This guy didn't stare at me. This guy was, like, nice. He was, like, a little eager, like, priesthood holder.
Peter Priesthood Beaver?
Yeah, he was a nice guy. Okay, I look over. He's in a minivan, and I'm in my...
Five kids in the back?
Well, I don't know. I was in my sports car, and he was in his minivan. I pull up the light and look at him, and I make eye contact. And he's in a minivan with his wife. He looked like my age. He was probably like 26.
Was his wife fat and overweight?
No, I mean, they're just like average looking. And, you know, average looking.
Sure.
And I look over and like make eye contact with him. And for just like a split second, he was looking at me and it was like, oh, what am I doing with my life? He was married in a minivan. He had like three little kids in the back seat.
His wife had a bonnet on for sure.
Seriously. And I was just looking at him, and then, because he probably got back from his mission and got married and had kids.
He's probably 24 years old, probably 24, 25, like our age, but just had a wife and four kids.
And, you know, that's okay, but he looked at me, and I'm, like, single, and I'm blasting my stereo, and I'm, like, chilling. And granted, that's very immature, and I should be doing more with my life. However!
It's cool.
And he was jealous, I think. And then at the next light, I had some D-bag pull up in, like, some Jeep and try and stare me down.
Don't you love it? He had his collar flipped up, probably. And
Yeah, I don't know, but he was like, it wasn't like glance over and see who's in the car. It was like sizing me up.
No way.
Yeah.
Making sure you didn't have as, you know, as white of teeth as he did, because he'd been bleaching his every day for the last 3 years.
It was like veneers.
He probably started bleaching him before he got off his mission, just to make sure that the girls would like him when he got home.
Yeah, there's a... Provo's unreal. It's, like, so competitive. It's like...
It truthfully is unreal. It's literally unreal.
it's hard to... I don't know. I was talking to Adam, and he was saying the main reason why guys down there are, like, ridiculous is because everyone's, like, the same. Everyone's a returned missionary. Everyone's this...
Caucasian.
Everyone's the same thing.
Everyone speaks Spanish.
So it's like they have no... Yeah, they all speak Spanish.
Everyone's majoring in business.
Yeah, they have, like, nothing to set them apart. So they're, like, you have this identity crisis.
And they start doing funny things like Levi Loving and things like that to try and compensate for their identity problem.
Yep.
I don't know what Levi Loving means, but I've heard the term in Provo a few times.
Yeah. It's just a little bump and grind.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like clubbing?
I don't know. I guess like you're making out, getting horizontal.
I guess that's pretty much clubbing.
Yeah.
You're backing it up, you know, while you're at it.
Yeah, like the brothers.
Like the homies.
What was I going to say? Anyways, yeah, I went down to Provo and I went to like a student ward and it sucked. I wore this is the best part. I went to this student ward with it wasn't Adam's ward, but it was just some random ward we went to, and it was in a classroom, which I think is ridiculous. It was in one of the BYU classrooms, and so I walk in, and I just wore a shirt I had on before. It was like a colored striped shirt. It's like pretty jazzy looking, but I just put a tie on with it and my khaki pants.
Sure.
And I just walk in, and every single other person in there, all the other guys were like all 22, 23 years old, all had blue slacks and white shirts and dark ties on. They're like missionaries. They all looked exactly the same, and I stuck out so bad.
What did anyone make any comments to you, any encounters?
No, but like you could totally tell they were like staring at my outfit, and they were like, ooh, he does not belong.
He does not deserve a temple recommend.
Seriously.
He is unfaithful, he is unrighteous.
The one thing I did get a kick out of, though, is the bishopric spoke in their sacrament meeting.
Oh, yeah?
And there's the two normal bishopric members, and the second counselor was, like, 26 years old.
Really?
He was from a student ward. And,
are you kidding me?
No, he was, he, like, gets up, and he's this little, like, eager beaver seminary-looking dude.
No way.
And he was talking about, like, the law of chastity and not marrying somebody for lust.
Wow.
And he's actually really good. I liked what he said. And he was very, like, non-condescending, very non-judgmental, and he did a good job.
That's good.
But, you know...
That's very refreshing.
Yeah, and it was funny, though, because he was, like, a little eager beaver, and he was talking about, you know, if you're looking for a wife or a husband, and your main thing when you're dating them is you're like, well, I wish their teeth were better, or I wish they had bigger assets or whatever. He didn't say that, but
sure.
But he's like, if those are the main things you're thinking about when you're dating somebody, you need to put those out of your mind and like think about more wholesome things when you're dating them. I mean, obviously that's right, but it's hard to do. You wanna experience the goodness.
Paul Walker.
Yeah.
I think this is something very valuable to our audience, to our vast audience of listeners.
The principle of overlooking, trying to ignore physical attraction when looking for a good relationship.
Well, I want you to tell me something. When you're looking for, when you're dating a girl, you yourself.
Yeah.
What's something that you look for in a girl that makes you want to stick around for the long run?
Probably not a good person to ask. Probably just somebody that's like entertaining and I don't know, it's kind of cliche, fun.
Someone that has a good sense of humor.
I think I just want somebody that kind of has the same ideas that I do, came from the same background as me. And I don't know, somebody that kind of has the same outlook on life. Like, if we could just like talk about stuff together and we agree with each other, I think that'd be the best thing.
Could you marry a Democrat?
You know, I kind of dated a girl for a while that was from a Democratic family, and she was really cool. And I probably shouldn't have quit seeing her, but she was like a Democrat. She kind of had some ideas that I wasn't too down with. And so I kind of let that get in the way. But see, I have older brothers and sisters who married people whose like parents were flaming liberals and they like hated George Bush. And, you know, they're like, well, my in-laws hate George Bush and they're not Republican, but, you know, they just don't talk about it. So, like, I don't know that, you know, politics can necessarily like make or break a relationship. If somebody's like really intense about it, though, and you're intense the opposite way, it's not going to happen.
Don't values kind of come into play, though, when you start talking values? And
well, yeah. If they're like an intense Democrat and they're like, in terms of like moral policy, like, you know, I believe in pro-choice and
moral relativism.
What's that?
If you decide in your mind that being promiscuous is okay,
yeah,
then it's okay because you think it's okay.
What, is that like the whole thing with giving kids condoms in high school?
It's moral relativism is what it is. If you think it's okay to have bestiality relations, it's okay because you think it's okay. But at the same time,
it's just like a judgment call.
It's a judgment call. It's moral relativism. It's all relative to the person who has that idea.
Because it goes back to the whole thing, like, what is pornography? And they say, well, I can't really define it, but if I see it, I can tell you what it is.
Exactly.
And it's just like, well, somebody that's a complete scumball, their definition of pornography might be a lot more risque than a more conservative person.
Exactly. And also, another values thing, I don't know, this isn't turning into a Democratic bashing conversation, but a lot of Democrats have the idea, not, I shouldn't say all, but I'm saying like the fringe liberals.
Like the moderates?
Like the cuckoo.
Oh, the crazy ones.
The cuckoo flaming libs.
Yeah.
They aren't even in favor of men and women getting together now because it's
they just think marriage and all that should go away.
Because it's traditional. It's not, you know, it's not real. It's not, you know, anything that's different. They just want, like I mentioned, they just want to oppose
everything.
Everything. They think people are just naive and they kind of just follow tradition of their family and parents. And
so basically, the moral of the story is, you want to find somebody to date that has the same ideas about life as you do.
My opinion is, politics to me is like religion.
Kind of is in a lot of ways.
I couldn't marry a girl that's of a different faith, but I could marry a convert.
Yeah.
I couldn't marry a girl that was of a different political party unless she was a traditional Democrat of the past, like President Hinckley, you know?
Oh, yeah?
President Hinckley shares all the same values as us, but he has maybe a couple of, well, I don't know.
In terms of like social.
Maybe social issues, yeah.
Like social things like welfare and whatnot.
The true Democrat isn't liberal. The real liberals should be a different party of their own.
So like in terms, there's people that think that the government should, you know, have higher taxes and support people's social programs, support like health insurance, stuff like that. But then they also group in the liberals that are like, you know, we should have pro-choice abortion, you know, gay and lesbian marriage, all the other more edgy social issues. And they mix them together with the, like, economic and social programs.
Yeah, and it starts affecting those types of issues, and that's when there's a problem. Traditional Democrats share the same values with Republicans for years.
Yeah.
In terms of hometown values, religion type points of view.
Yeah.
But lately it's turned into just they want to do
moral
anything
issues.
Anything that's the opposite of Republicans.
Yeah.
To distinguish themselves. It used to be just, well, the welfare program, for example, that used to be the only issue that. One of the only issues that divided the two parties,
right?
And now that's the least of the that's the less of all the evils.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's you got to talk about that stuff with people.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely will talk about it and address that with my wife before I marry her.
I think we have a call coming in.
Let's take that call.
All right, we'll take it. Hello.
Who's on the line?
Adam.
Yeah.
You're on the show.
Ooh, hello. Showtime, huh?
Hello, Adam.
Hello, everyone. Hello, world.
Can you hear him, Jeff?
I can hear Adam. I'm not sure he can hear me.
What's going on, Adam?
Oh, not much. Who's all on the show today?
Just me and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
DJ Jazzy Jeff? How is DJ Jazzy Jeff? I had spoken with him earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, Jeff's doing good. What, we were just talking about... What?
My phone just broke up. What was that?
We were just talking about Provo.
Let's ask Adam some questions about Provo.
Yeah, how's Provo treating you?
Oh, you know, it's thrilling. It's probably the best place on earth. I hope to move here when I'm done.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paul.
Let's ask him if he's seen any pioneers crossing the Provo.
Doesn't everyone just love Provo?
Have you seen any pioneers lately?
Tigers?
Pioneers.
I have seen some pioneers.
Yeah, what about any hot chicks?
You know, I can't say I have.
Oh.
Any pioneers showing more than their ankles?
Not lately. You must remember that I am a chemistry major.
Yeah?
There's not very many hot chicks that take the same classes such as I.
What would be the best class to take where there would be chicks, do you think?
Probably the family marriage prep class.
So basically all the stuff that won't do you any good.
Yeah.
Why?
If you want to be a family marriage major, that'd be great.
Why is it that all the girls major in stuff that's unmarketable?
Wave on us.
Well, the reason why, in my opinion, is because they just figure they're just going to get married and they are taught that their husband should be the moneymaker. Therefore... there is no reason for them to have to really have a major that's going to give them much benefit. This way they get their degree, they get some knowledge, but yet it's not painful, it's not hard, it's not difficult.
So is that attractive to you?
Well, it's attractive if they're going to school and trying to do something, but it's not attractive when people try and take the easy way out, if that's the case.
That's a solid point.
This is Free Talk Utah Thanks. Doctrine by Adam Tullis.
That's radio doctrine.
I'd agree with that wholeheartedly.
Awesome. So we're gonna be wrapping up the show here pretty quick. Are you just still chilling in Provo?
Yeah, I'm still chilling in Provo. Just, you know, relaxing, taking a break. I'm about to organize a couple folders. You know, separate the organic chemistry lab from the organic chemistry class, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop. Jeff's rubbing the microphone on his crotch right now.
This is a kid's show, buddy. That's trying to keep it clean.
Is it now? If you've heard the rest of the show, Adam, you might not think so, but...
This is a show about Mexicans.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Mexicans today.
What's that?
We talked about Mexicans today.
Oh, did ya?
Yeah.
And just recent trip to Mexico.
Yeah, he took a trip.
See you, Wayne.
How did you do it?
Yeah, are you going to come up here this weekend for our Black Eyed Peas concert on Saturday?
Well, yeah, what's going on with that? You haven't gotten back to me on that.
Yeah, we got some tickets. I think you're definitely invited. We got box suites for the Black Eyed Peas, the East Center.
Yeah,
I want to come, Bambuski.
All right. You're in.
I'm someone, though, don't I?
What?
Hello?
I didn't hear you.
I can't hear you. Call me when your show is done so you can get better reception, because I can't hear you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Hey, I'll talk to you later, a little in a bit.
Okay. Thanks for calling the show, Adam.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was pimp.
What a great call to have.
Yeah, he just gave us some sweet on-site information about the Prove.
He really has some true Provo doctrine. He knows what's going on there. He's into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a leather jacket collection of his own that we love and lust after.
You know, Adam fits into Provo in a lot of ways, but, you know, he's definitely not of the Provo mindset, and I respect him for that.
No, I do too. He's definitely not. He hasn't indoctrinated himself and brainwashed himself and become tainted by the wild, waving, blowing winds of the doctrine of Provo.
He has a good head on his shoulders. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and hopefully Johnny will be with us next time.
Yes.
And that's about it. We'll be back at you pretty soon.
And that's how the cookie crumbles.
I love it. Love it.
And I want some more of it.
Free Talk Utah!